Well, welcome. Welcome to the first week of our brand new series for the new year that's going to take us all the way through the first Sunday of Lent, about 6 weeks from now. Our new series is called The Chosen, and it's inspired by the popular docudrama by the same name about Jesus' life. You can find that show on Amazon Prime and Peacock and Netflix, and maybe this series will even inspire you to start watching it. Now, in this series, we're talking about choices and who's really making them. See, you and I make choices every day, right? We make choices about a lot of things, about what we'll wear or how we'll spend the day, which projects we'll work on, when and if we'll pray or work out or watch TV. We make choices about where we're going to go after work or school. And we make choices every day about how we're going to treat the people around us. Lots of choices. But the ability to choose, you know, with a conscious understanding of our free will, that's what defines us. It sets humanity apart from other creatures. And we can and certainly do misuse our ability to choose. But it's precisely what makes us human. Now, the thing is, even though most of us like to make choices about our lives and we do it every day, we really don't like being told what to do. We want to make choices, but not have those choices made for us. And most of the time, we also don't want to be conscripted, you know, or forced or chosen to do something hard. Most of us would rather be the one who chooses than the one who is chosen. But the central truth about your life is that you are, in fact, chosen by God to do something for Him. You know, every once in a while, I like to hold a little pity party. Sometimes I schedule it on my calendar. It's cathartic. You know, I complain about how hard my job is. Now, don't get me wrong. Listen carefully. I absolutely love being your pastor. But sometimes on a bad day, I can get a little whiny, you know, and start grumbling about all kinds of things, you know, like having to work every weekend, or being on call 24/7, or having to wear black all the time. I mean, would a little splash of color really hurt? I complain about all the demands of running a parish and a school and raising money for the archdiocese and trying to find time for everybody who needs my help. And then, when I'm finished griping, my friends almost always say the same thing. Hey, you were the one who chose this life. Didn't you read the brochure before you signed up? It always galls me when they say that, and they always do. After all, they're supposed to be on my side. But you know, deep down, I know they're right. I did sign up for this. But I also have to say that being a priest is not really a choice you make. It's something you're chosen to do. And that's really true for anyone who tries to do something important in the world. You are chosen to do it. It's not your choice. You're chosen. For example, the prophet Isaiah we heard about in the first reading, he's a perfect example. God just came straight out and told him, he didn't mince words, he said, Isaiah, you are my servant, through whom I show my glory. See, God chose Isaiah to do something important. He chose him to bring all the people in his time back to faith. And then God said this to him, he said, I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Isaiah was chosen to do something important. He was chosen to reveal a God who loves his people so much he would never give up on them. The same thing is true with John the Baptist in the gospel reading today, another prophet. John was also chosen to do something important. And he says what that thing is right in the middle of the gospel passage. He says, the reason why I came baptizing with water was that Jesus might be made known. Like Isaiah, John was chosen. He was chosen to reveal God's love for his people. But here's the problem. I think you know this already. Being chosen by God almost always ends up being a burden. People chosen to do something great, to do something important, they always struggle. They always face hardships. They are often unappreciated and frequently criticized. Just take Isaiah, for example. Like all the prophets, he was persecuted, but at the end of his life, it got worse. He ended up on the wrong side of an evil king and was literally sawed in half. In the same way, John the Baptist was arrested. He languished in prison for years without a trial and eventually was beheaded. Now, here's the thing. This might come as bad news. You also have been chosen by God to make him known in the world. The good things you do, especially the hard but ultimately fulfilling choices, the things you really don't want to do but you know you should do because they help someone or a cause that you care about, all of those things that you do, you are actually chosen by God to do them. And that's the central message of this series. You have been chosen by God to make him known in the world by doing the hard things no one else wants to do in a way only you can do. That's your mission. That's your purpose. And we're going to unpack that throughout the whole series. And I got to tell you right up front, it's hard. It's hard to make God known in the world, because to make God known in the world, you have to reveal his love. And to reveal his love requires you to love, to be a loving person all the time. And love is hard. Love always requires a sacrifice. To better understand this point, I'd like us to take a closer look at the second reading today. It's a letter from a man named Paul. You've probably heard of him, St. Paul. He wrote more than half of the New Testament of the Bible. Paul was writing a letter to an early, very early Christian community in a place called Corinth. This was about 30 years after Jesus died on the cross and rose again. And this place, Corinth, still exists today in Greece, about an hour west of Athens. And Paul begins the letter this way. He says this. He says, Paul, called to be an apostle. In other words, he's saying, I am Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Now, this sounds like a kind of a throwaway line, like he's just introducing himself as the author of the letter. But he's also explaining that he had been chosen by God, called, chosen by God, to spread the word about Jesus and make God known to all people. And that's what Paul did. In the course of his ministry, Paul traveled more than 10,000 miles on foot. He visited over 50 places and established 14 churches. He was a very busy man. And like Isaiah, like John, like anyone chosen to do something important for God, Paul faced many hardships. He was beaten, he was attacked by mobs, he was pelted with stones, he was sent to prison numerous times, and much more. But in this letter that he's writing, Paul was upset and burdened by something very different. You see, he had started that church in Corinth. He had created it from scratch. He gathered the people. He taught them all about Jesus, everything he knew. And then he went away to go do the same thing somewhere else. But then he heard through the grapevine that the people in Corinth were fighting with each other. The people in the church were fighting with each other. And they were divided. And the problem was that many of them had been given incredible spiritual gifts. You know, they could do all these amazing things. They could speak in what are known as angelic tongues. There are still some people today who can do that. They could heal people. There are still people today who could do that. They could prophesy about the future. They had all these incredible spiritual gifts, which sounds like a good thing, but it caused them to be at odds with one another because each person thought that the special gift they had been given made them better, more holy, more worthy than everyone else in the community. So right in the beginning of his letter, Paul reminds them of something really important. He says, look, you have been called to be holy. In other words, not fighting with each other. And the rest of the letter that he writes is all about what holiness really means. You know, a lot of people, especially people who don't really consider themselves church people or religious people, they seem to think that holy means being perfect, or never making a mistake, or never violating any of the rules. And even you know, and a lot of Catholics, you might think of holy people as being kind of stuffy, boring, overly serious, or even hypocritical, holy rollers who never have any fun. But look at what Paul says later in the letter. This is in chapter 12. He tells the Corinthians this. He says, strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts. In other words, yes, try to be holy. Try to be holy with those gifts that God has given you. But then he says this, but I will show you a still more excellent way. He's going to tell them what holiness is really about. And these next lines, I want you to listen to them really carefully. Read them on the screen because they are so beautiful, so impactful. Here's what Paul says. He says, if I speak in human and angelic tongues, remember that's a spiritual gift to speak in tongues. He says, if I can do that, but do not have love, I'm just like a clashing cymbal on a drum set. And if I have the gift of prophecy, another spiritual gift, you know, if I can comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I own to the poor, but do not have love, I gain nothing. What Paul is saying is that everything, including religion, is meaningless if you don't have love. Holiness is not about trying to be perfect. It's about love. And you might be surprised to learn that the church says the very same thing. You've probably heard of this council in the 1960s. It was a worldwide church council called the Second Vatican Council. And the central teaching of that Second Vatican Council was that every person is chosen to be holy. They call it the universal call to holiness. But in the central document of Vatican II, Lumen Gentium it's called, they define what being holy is all about. And it says this, it means to manifest or to show to all people the love with which God loved the world. Holiness is not about following the rules. It's about love. And you are chosen to love. And whenever you choose to love others in this world, especially when it's hard, you can't help but reveal God's love. And I want to tell you a story that may help illustrate this point. Growing up, I had a pretty conflicted relationship with my father. I've spoken about this at other times, in other contexts. My dad could be a difficult person to love. He had a volatile temper, unpredictable, and he had a hard time relating. But when I was in my early 20s, he was diagnosed with colon cancer. It had spread to his liver, and he was frightened. When it became clear that he wasn't going to win the battle, he asked me to move back into the family home to help my mom. It's not something I wanted to do. It wasn't a choice I would have made. But I did it because he asked me. In the last few weeks of his life, We talked for hours at a time. We talked like we never had before. He told me stories about his youth, like the time when he was going to the University of Michigan and he bought a rowboat because he thought it would be a cheap way to commute to the college. There's a river, I guess, that goes to the college, only to find out after he purchased it that the river was not navigable. Or the time when he was a graduate student here at UC Berkeley, when he nearly backed a trailer off a cliff in the High Sierras. I had never heard these stories before. And through our conversations, I began to know and understand my father better. For really the first time, I realized he was just like me and every other person on this planet. He had hopes and dreams. He experienced failure, disappointment, and pain. He wrestled with demons. One morning, I found him in bed shortly after he had died. My mom was still asleep, and the house was completely quiet. No one else was home. We obviously had expected him to pass away at any moment, but it still didn't make it any easier. At the time, I was in the middle of a program at a nearby church. I was becoming Catholic. And the people who ran the program had just given each of us a very simple cross with a metal chain. And to this day, I'm surprised by what I did next. I took the cross off, and I gently placed it around my dad's neck. And then I whispered in his ear, "I love you, Dad." It was the first time I ever recall saying those words to him, and he had never said them to me. And as I waited for the funeral home to arrive in the early morning hours of that cold January morning, almost 25 years ago next week, I knew as strongly as I've ever felt in my life that God was there with us in the silence. It was a holy moment because there was love between a frightened, tearful, conflicted young man and I'm sure his recently deceased father. You want to be holy? Choose love. Make the choice to love in the difficult moments, in the painful episodes of life. Choose love when you literally have to force yourself through sheer willpower. Choose love even and especially when it comes at a cost. And I promise you, God will be there. You have been chosen for the arduous task of bringing God's love into the world. And every time you make that choice, his love will be revealed and made known to the world.